Okay, today we're going to be speaking about butchering knives. And as follows. The Gemara says, the Gemara makes two different statements about using a knife to cut meat. Using a knife that was not kosher to cut kosher meat. First the Gemara says, Rav Baruch Hanan says, that even though when you cut meat, it's not when you cut meat, it's not hot. Even so, you need to clean off the knife before you need to clean off a non-kosher knife before you use it for cutting kosher meat, because the shamnunas is fats that are left on the meat. Rashi says, "Shavrin is kanech b'shamnunas." When you use this meat, when you use this knife to cut non-kosher meat, you got shamnunas, some fats stuck onto it. Yeshlo doifnei hasakim lo shamnunas. It's not possible that there would be. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. It's not possible there wouldn't be fat on the side of the knife, and therefore, when you cut the piece of meat, you would get some of that fat from the non-kosher meat onto your kosher meat that you have now. Then the Gemara says not only that, but also a person who's a menaker, a butcher, needs to have three separate knives. He needs a separate knife also for one for shechting, and he needs one for cutting kosher meat, and one for cutting chalev, fats that are not kosher. Okay, and it's the same reason. When you cut meat with a knife, you get fat gets stuck onto it, you know, gets stuck onto the side of the knife, and therefore, if you use this knife, let's say, for chalev, for cutting fats that are not kosher, then it could, that chalev would get transferred onto the kosher meat that you have, and therefore, therefore you have to have separate knives. Okay, which is to say is, the way the Chorin explained it, you can't have, there are ways to clean it, there are ways to clean it, but there's a chashash, you won't clean it well, or you won't remember to clean it, therefore you have to have separate knives to make sure that you use this one for gozer, this one for shechita, this one for cutting kosher meat, and this one for cutting chelub. Now what happens if you had one of these knives that had been used for something not kosher? So there are ways to kosher it. You could scrub it very thoroughly, you could prove. Do an itza, we spoke of that, we're going to call scalum. There are ways to kosher the knife, to make it, you know, from non-kosher to kosher, but otherwise the knife is not able to be used. Now, these halachos that I'm mentioning over here are not specific to shechita, really. These are regular dinim of knives, knives that are used for different things, and that they can't be used for other things, and they have to be koshered, etc. Well, that is all. These are very general dinim. It's brought in the commercial chulim and the dinim aren't a shechita because they're very much relevant to a shechita, to a butcher. But in fact, the regular, so to speak, regular dinim have to do with kosher and non-kosher knives. So it raises a question: how come it is that in a slaughterhouse, the same knives are used for everything? The people using the knives, the same knives are used. The non-Jewish people who work there, who are doing all the butchering of the meat, use the same knives for nevelos and trefas and even for chalev. Okay, the Dr. Tshuva brings from Divrei Hakil and from others, and he says, what's going on here? It's a din mefurush in the Gemara. Brought in Shulchan Aruch, there's no chalev because it's just a straightforward din. He says, v'adavar nifla, sh'olam ein nizorim b'zeh. He says, how can it be that people are not careful about this? In his time also, people weren't careful. And he says, v'adavar nirli na'im, that there's fat left on the knives. So how could it be that we use the same knives for kosher and non-kosher? For trefas and non-trefas? The Prima Gadim says, of course you're not allowed to do this, and you have to stop it. People shouldn't be doing these kind of things. So, you know, even if we're going to think that at the beginning of the day, everyone starts off with clean knives that are completely clean and sharpened, and good to go at the beginning of the day, if everything left over from yesterday is gone, there's no worry about that. But even so, once in a while, when you're butchering, they do it to win a minute in the veil. When they cut up the meat, I'm not doing butchering like cutting to final sizes that we see in the retail store. The butchering that goes on in the plant. There's nevelas. There's for sure plenty of trefas. Only once in a while is there a nevela, but there's loads of trefas. I don't know, 40-50%, depending. I don't know. The shechita is lots and lots of trefas. So all those, the fat from those animals, anything left from them is not kosher. And what about people who cut the parts of the animal that have chalev in them? So they cut this and then they cut that. How can those knives be used seem to be completely ignoring what the Gemara said, that you have to have separate knives because of shamnunas transferring? Now, the truth is we can ask the same kind of questions about other people on the plane. That is, Similar questions. The person, the Vaidik, Pinyim, assuming he's the one who cuts into the tarpish, if he cuts into the tarpish, that means is he cuts through the animal, every single one. Well, loads of those animals end up being trephas. So he doesn't cut into the nevelos, because he would know this is a nevelo, he wouldn't bother. But all the ones that are trephas, he cuts into, and then he uses that same knife to cut into the next species afterwards. What about when they're menachar the meat? So being menachar means is you cut away things that you're not supposed to have, but you're also using the same knife and cutting the parts that you are allowed to have. You're cutting it, just cutting this and that. Now, for the nikur, the Mechaber in Simpei Dalet, Samach Dalet, speaks of maybe the Ratzatum Lahakal over there, maybe. Maybe the Sheikhid himself, maybe it's less of a question for the Sheikhid than for some of these other people, because the Sheikhid clean their knife and sharpen it and for sure wash it between one animal and the next. Maybe the Menachar, I'm sorry, the Baidik Klim does that also, maybe, I'm not sure about that, but the Sheikhid for sure does, so wash his knives and, you know, put them onto the stone a little bit between animals. Maybe that's enough to get it clean. But we're still looking for the people working the plant, who do all the cutting of the meat working with the carcass. All those people seem to be using the same knives for everything. So our simple question is from the trephas to the non-trephas. Okay, so it could be that we're going to suggest a possible answer. It comes from a Rashba, but the Shach brings it. The Shach is in Yud. Shach brings the Rashba. I told you that these dinim about knives are not really specific to Shrita, that they're really just about knives in general. So the Rashba is a question. He says, Rabbi Rahana is talking about a knife that was used for Shrita. And the Rashba says, you know, of all cases in the world that Rabbi Rahana chose, why would he pick the one that has to do with Shrita? Shchita is the worst, is the weakest case to speak about. Why? Because when we know that after you shecht an animal and you do all the bedikas and things like that, you have to do hadacha before you do melicha. You have to wash it or do something to it before you do the melicha to it. So every single piece of meat is going to be washed off afterwards. So why do you have to say that you need to? Why would Rabbi Hanan say that you need to have separate knives for a person to shechita? You know, it's one thing for other parts of the process, but a person to shechita, okay, anybody up until the malicha who does anything, he says, what's the problem? He says, you're going to do hadacha anyhow before you do malicha. So those people should not need to have special knives. There should be no need for that. So he says that the answer is that when Rav Rahana says that you need to rinse off the meat, obviously the rinsing that you do for before malicha, just a plain rinsing, is not good enough. You need to do when it is with a shishuf gadol b'yadayim heitev. You need to do a really thorough scrubbing of the meat in order to get all the residue of fat that we left on it. But what you do before malicha, that's not going to be good enough. Just a hadacha, you're rinsing it down before malicha, that's not going to be good enough. You need to do a more serious cleaning in order to qualify to say the meat has been cleaned off enough that any shamlinus from the last animal is not on here. So, on the one hand, the Rashi is telling us a chumrah. He's telling us a chumrah. Just wrinkling it down a piece of meat is not going to get the shamlinus off. Okay. But at the same time, he's telling us that if you do a shif-shif gadol b'yadayim heitev, it is possible to get all the shamlinus off of the meat. And seemingly, we have two things to point at in a modern slaughterhouse that might qualify for those things. The first is, after it hit off the hide, and after the USDA checks the animal, and the Baidik checks the animal, and the animal has now been approved, everything's ready, it's done, it's ready to leave, the carcass is ready to leave, and it is now, it's going for into the refrigerator. Okay, the last step before it goes into the refrigerator is, it goes through a strong spray washer that washes down the animal with water mixed usually with lactic acid. We've spoken about this in the past, that first of all, if you're allowed to have lactic acid, that affects the melicha. We spoke about that maybe that washing should help extend the 72 hours. Sometimes you need just an extra half an hour, and that would do the trick to extend the 72 hours before melicha has to happen. But essentially, it's going through this strong spray wash, and that wash should, seemingly, would be good enough for what the Rashi said. You need to do a shish of gold, three diamond, if it's a strong, powerful, rinsing going on to the meat, and maybe that's good enough to say that we cleaned off the animal. Now, that helps if that's correct, that that's really good enough. That helps for all the people who use knives on the animal, from the shechet all the way down through all the preparing, taking off the hide and cutting off certain pieces, and all that cutting that happened all the way from there till the end of that part of the process would all be taken care of by this. Yet that doesn't yet help for the nikur, the people who are being menacher. But the good news is the people who are being menacher on the next day. Those people only work with kosher animals. There's no trefus in there. All the trefus have been weeded out. You only take no nevels and trefus make it into there. They're only doing the nikur on the kosher animals. So assuming if they start with clean knives in the morning, which is reasonable, or the shift, when they start doing the kosher animals, assuming their knives are all clean at that point, then the only thing we have to do is that they're touching chelid while they do it. And as I mentioned, the Mechaber says maybe there's reasons to be mekel and say it's okay, you don't have to worry about that part of it. But we don't have to do, there are no nevelos or trefus over here because in that room. So maybe that's a justification for how we do it. Second thing is that the Ramah brings that you're supposed to rinse off, you're supposed to do a niput between the malicha and the three hadachas. When you finish malicha, before you do three hadachas, you just do a niput. And there's different ways that cleans do it. There's different ways they do it. Some people just do a little mist, so that's not going to count as a shift of got to be a dime hated. That's not going to be good enough. But other ones do a more powerful washing down of the meat to get the salt off. So if that's done, then that potentially again qualifies as something that this is the very way you have to, no one's going to touch it with a knife anymore at all. That if the malicha, at that point, nothing with a knife that could touch the tray. So if that's done well enough, then kenzain that would also be good enough to get the any tray fat that we left on there. Now, in that vein, it's worth mentioning that when the Ramah says you should do the Hatacha Rishana, before the malicha, he says Hatacha Sabasa Chatchila Yizor L'Shoyes Neged Chati Shah, you should do it for half an hour. It should be for half an hour. So, and then he says, and uladicha hated b'mei hashuya, and to rub it well in the water that it's soaking in. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that when it says uladicha hated b'mei hashuya, that's really doing what the Rashba said. And the Rashba said you should do shishim skol b'yadayim hated. That's what the Ramah has in mind when he says here you should do uladicha hated b'mei hashuya, we don't do that. We don't do any special hadicha hate the shriya. No one sits there in the shriya water and does something special. But the Daki Chu brings it. There are some people who say that actually the fact that we do 30 minutes of shriya altogether is a chumra. The Aruch HaShulchan himself says, he says, ikka shriya chatzi shol yadatim nolam. Where does half an hour come from altogether? So some of the Daki Chu want to say the 30 minutes itself is good enough. It's not a rubbing. But it's good enough that we say that takes the place of what the Ramah has said you should do is Adicha Hate the Meh Ashriya. By leaving for half an hour does that trick. And if the Aruch HaShulchan says that qualifies for what the Rosh wanted, so then what we've done is essentially by saying that we have to do Shriya for half an hour, we've done something good enough to get the Shaninas off. So we're going a few steps over here. The Rashba said you have to do a shift of God to be a dime patron. You have to do a real good rubbing to get the residue off. What you would have done, so to speak, in the Rashba's day, there's nothing that would have done that. So you have to take a special step to get it to clean off the meat. And that's why you have to have special knives, because that may not happen. But the way we do it nowadays, that we do Sharia for half an hour, may take the place of that thing. Dr. Chu would read that some say like that. And also, that can truly read that the three hadachas we did afterwards may be a chum also, so maybe that also takes the place of it. Again, but yeah, so these are different possibilities. Again, these are just ideas and possibilities. But Lamaitza really the Achron asks this question, if there's a perishit in here. And we give some possible ideas of maybe why we seem to be ignoring what the distance is.